The gospel reading today comes from Luke, the first chapter beginning with verse 46. It is the song that Mary sang as she anticipated the birth of her son Jesus. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. And surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. We are working our way through the books of the Bible, and we have arrived today at the book of Luke, one of our four Gospels. In Luke, Jesus shows us what it means to be more human. Each gospel has a little different perspective of Jesus. In Matthew, Matthew wanted us to see how Jesus was the Messiah, the one who was going to make Israel great again. In Mark, the emphasis there is on Jesus being the Son of God and how that brought him into a clash with the spiritual forces of wickedness and darkness. In Luke, Jesus is showing us over and over what it means to be more human. Now, you would have thought that we would have nailed this being human thing by now, but no. The human race continues to harbor some of the most outrageous inhumanities, and much of the human race continues to be passive and silent in the face of those inhumanities. And we have failed over and over to live up to our full human potential, not only as individuals, but also as human communities, socially and individually. Each human being has only one job on this earth, and that is to be fully and humanely human. Now, my cat, Earl, has only one job. It's his job to be a cat. I think he had poor parenting, so I'm not sure he's going to make it to cat heaven, which is a pity because all he has to do is be a cat in order to get there someday. All God expects of any of us is to be what God created us to be, fully and humanely human. And in Luke, we discover just how much we need Jesus in order to do that. Of all the gospel writers, Luke is the very best at telling a great story. His story about Jesus, full of anecdotes and parables and one-liners, it's the smoothest of all the Gospels. You can tell Luke knows how to write. More than Matthew, more than Mark, more than John. Luke excels as a writer. Page after page, he unfolds his story of Jesus, introducing us to new characters, fleshing out the world where Jesus is first appearing and interacting with people. And in Luke, Jesus changes people. Everywhere he goes, people are changed by him. And we see that in Luke more than we see it in the other Gospels. We see Jesus teaching people in Matthew, and we see Jesus fighting for people in Mark. But in Luke, we see Jesus changing people, helping people become more fully and humanely human, living the life that God has intended for us. Luke focuses on what happens when people change and how life takes a different direction. We see this, for instance, in a parable that's recorded in Luke and appears no other place in the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son. And you know that story. There are two brothers, and the younger brother says to the father, I think I've had enough of you. I think most of our kids at some point end up saying that in some form or way to us. And the younger son says, I want to take what's my share, and I want to be done with you. I want to take my share. I want to go off, and I want to have a life of my own. And, of course, he does. And a combination of foolishness and bad luck results in this younger son ending up living in poverty. And eventually he decides that the only way he can survive is to go home and try to work something out with his father. Now, the father had every reason to be upset. But here's what happens when Jesus shows us a way to live humanely and a way to live that's fully human. The father, instead of giving the son what's coming to him, figures the son's probably already got what's coming to him, and receives him with grace and with mercy and with joy. And in stories like these, story after story, Luke shows us how it is that people change and the effect of living a life as Jesus teaches us and as Jesus himself lives. Now, when we think about Luke, we also realize that there are stories there that Luke gives us that none of the other gospel writers provide for us. It's only in Luke that we read about Jesus as a baby being put in a manger and shepherds showing up that night to welcome him to this earth. It's only in Luke that we read anything about Jesus being a boy. And there's a story about Jesus being 12 years old in Luke, and we don't have that in any of the other Gospels. Luke is the only Gospel that gives us the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke is the only Gospel that gives us that story where Jesus is visiting his friends, Mary and Martha, and Martha is so busy trying to do everything and be hospitable for the visit. But Mary, the younger sister, is sitting with Jesus and participating in the conversation, and Jesus talks about how Mary has chosen the better part. Luke gives us that story. Luke is the only one that gives us the story of the widow who's run up against an unresponsive judge and tells us that the persistence of that widow has something to do with how we should pray. Luke is the only one who gives us the story of the two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. And Jesus, he's anonymous to them, and he starts walking with them, and of course they invite him in to their home, and it's when he breaks bread and gives thanks to God that their eyes are open and they're able to see that it is the resurrected Christ. And so over and over again, we see Luke giving us stories and some background about Jesus that nobody else provides for us. And so we treasure Luke for his storytelling ability. When we think about the stories of Luke particularly, Luke helps us see the human side of both darkness, but also of love and of transformation. Again, Luke is the one who presents Jesus in such a way that Jesus is helping us become more fully and humanely human. It's in Luke that we get the human touch. That old couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they always wanted children, but they were never able to have children for whatever reason. But they kept praying for it, and they kept praying for that gift long after it was practical. It's in Luke that we see a young couple. The woman is pregnant, and they have to be traveling when it's time for her to deliver her child. And they just can't find a place when the time has come. It's in Luke that the shepherds leave their work. They leave their flocks in the middle of the night, and they go to the village of Bethlehem so that they can see a baby that has been born, and they saw and heard angels announcing this joy. It's in Luke that we have the human touch of a fellow who was traveling through a rough stretch, and he got attacked by thieves, and they took what he had, and they beat him up, and he was half dead, lying there on the side of the road, and a Samaritan came by and stopped and helped him and took care of his wounds. You see the human touch all the way through in Luke's story. It's in Luke's story that we see the two disciples of Jesus after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, but they don't really know too much about the resurrection yet, and they're still sad, and they're walking along, they're going back to their village, leaving Jerusalem, they're going back to their village of Emmaus, and a stranger comes alongside them, and they begin to talk, and the stranger inquires about their sadness. And then the stranger starts to tell them about the Bible, and explain some things about the Bible to them. And then that human touch, they invite him, because it's late in the day, and they invite him in. And they invite him to a meal, they invite him to stay the night, and he takes the bread, and he gives the thanks, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Over and over and over, we have these very poignant human touches as we read through the Gospel of Luke. Now, with each of these books of the Bible, we're asking the question, what's the bad news, what's the good news, and what are the practical applications? The bad news of Luke, and Luke's not the only book that gives us this bad news, but the bad news of Luke is death. All the way through the book of Luke, Jesus talks about his death. And all the way through the book of Luke, we're facing the reality of the death that people have to face. We all have to face as human beings. That's a part of being fully human, is that we all face death and we all experience death. So that's bad news as far as it goes. And what's also bad news is how much we human beings mishandle death. What's bad news is all the ways that we try to deny it, all the ways we try to avoid it, all the ways we try to mitigate it, all the ways we try to test death. Death is horrifying to us. And that's part of what it means to be human, is to have a knowledge of death. My cat, Earl, has no knowledge of death, even though he's come close to it a few times. But it doesn't faze him. But I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that all the time. Every time something funny starts to happen in my chest, I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it. I'm aware every time the phone rings that it could be somebody from my church that is on the precipice of death. We're always aware of that. And the ways that we mishandle death, when we're young, we just try to defy it. Maybe drive like crazy, or abuse our bodies. It's somewhat, somehow we can prove that we're immune from it. Or we try to deny death by all of the things that we accumulate. Luke has a story about that, about a very rich person who had great crops, and all he did was build barns and build barns and build barns, and what happened? He dies. And then who gets all of his barns and all the stuff that's in them? Luke tells us about that. Luke tells us that one of the ways that we try to deny death or defy death or mitigate death is by our traditions. We have all these traditions that we think somehow are eternal. And Luke has a message about that. How Jesus tells us that our traditions are oftentimes standing in the way of life. of living our lives humanely and fully as human beings. And Luke takes on the traditions of men, which he says are in contrast to the commandments of God. And so the bad news of Luke is that there is death, and we don't handle it very well. We don't handle it very honestly, and we don't handle it very humanely. We don't accept that that's a part of the gift of being human. Now, if the bad news of Luke is death, the good news of Luke, as it is in so many of our Gospels and so many of our books of the New Testament, the good news is resurrection. And the book of Luke has its climax in the resurrection of Jesus. And not only do we have the climax in the resurrection of Jesus, but we also have Jesus talking throughout the book of Luke about how the resurrection that he experiences is for us as well. So the good news is that Luke never explains, by the way, how it works. He's not a scientist. He's just great at telling the story. And he never explains how it works. So if you have a little bit of a scientific or mathematical or engineering mind like I sometimes do, then you're maybe feel a little restless about that story of the resurrection, because it's just not something that we somehow manage to be able to explain scientifically. But Luke doesn't care about that. Luke just wants us to know that God's truth is more than we can measure or predict. And so we have this story of the resurrection. And that story is a powerful story. It can help us as human beings whenever we have to face the death of people that we love, whenever we have to face our own death. Luke has a picture of Jesus for us, where Jesus helps us to be more fully and humanely human. Now, just briefly, some practical things in Luke. I'm not going to dwell on them here this morning. Luke is a very practical book when it comes to money. If you want to get some advice on money, read the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us about... Now, here's the thing, though. If you're like looking for to get rich, if that's the kind of financial advice you're looking for, then you're probably going to be disappointed with Luke, because what Luke's advice on money is that we need to share it with people who are worse off than ourselves. And it's very, very powerful, practical advice. It's Luke that has John the Baptist when he's starting to do his preaching out by the Jordan River, and people are coming to John and they're saying, now we want to be baptized by you. We want to kind of get involved in this movement. The bandwagon's starting to go here. We want to get on it. And they say, what do we need to do? And John says, well, if any of you have more than one coat, you need to give that extra one to somebody that doesn't have one. It's Luke who continues to tell us that story of John. He's the only one that tells us this story about John the Baptist. If you're a soldier, then you need to not use your power to try to extort money from people who have less than you. And Luke also tells us that the day is coming under the judgment of God when the people who are poor are going to finally have enough to live through the day. And the people that are hungry are finally going to have enough to eat. And the people who are wasting food, who keep throwing it away, are going to have a day of woe. And the people who have so much that they have to build closets to put the stuff in are going to have a day of woe, while the people who have so little are going to have a day of rejoicing. Luke is really tough in a very practical way when it comes to understanding. Luke gives us these words of Jesus. It'd be harder for a rich person to enter the, to, it'd be easier for a rich person to go through the eye of a needle
for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So Luke, in a very practical way, causes us to take a look at what we're doing with our money and how much, what it means money-wise to be fully and humanely human. A second practical thing about Luke is Luke shows us the importance of eating together. There are always feasts, always banquets, always meals, always the sharing. It's Luke that has Jesus going to the home of Zacchaeus. We don't see that anywhere else. The Zacchaeus story is nowhere else in the Bible. It's Luke that has the banquets after the resurrection of Jesus. It's Luke. A lot of the other Gospels also have the feeding of the 5,000. Luke has that. Luke tells us how Jesus was eating in the homes of his friends and his enemies. And that's how things happen, is not when we maybe have committees or when we try to have organizations, formal organizations and plans and strategies and so forth. Luke shows us that most of what happens in terms of Jesus making a difference in people's life happens around the table. And that's a very practical thing for us to notice in the Gospel of Luke. Finally, Luke teaches us that while we are to obey the commandments of God, the only way we can be fully and humanely human is if we learn how to break rules as well. Now, I know we probably shouldn't be talking about that in church, and Methodists are really good at having lots of rules and regulations and proper ways and procedures and so forth in doing things. But in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is always, he's always breaking the rules. He's breaking the rules. He's healing people on the Sabbath. He's feeding. He's allowing people to rub their grains in the field together and eat on the Sabbath. Luke is has Jesus showing up at a banquet with the Pharisees, and he hasn't washed his hands properly. And he intentionally breaks those rules. Over and over and over again, Luke realizes that it's often our rules that are standing in the way of our being fully and humanely human. And so we see Jesus breaking rules. We see the widow who's yelling at the judge breaking rules. We see a neighbor who has guests in the middle of the night harassing his neighbor to get some bread. Over and over in Luke, we see people, just the shepherds leaving their flocks in the middle of the night to go and welcome the baby Jesus. The shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes out in search of the one. Over and over and over again, we read Luke and we say, wait, this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. These aren't the traditions. These aren't the customs. This isn't the culture. These aren't the rules. And yet, over and over in Luke, we see Jesus leading the way and telling Samaritans aren't supposed to stop and help Jewish people when they're on the side of the road. Over and over, Luke helps us see that this is the way of life. It will be in the Gospel of John. We're going to do John next week. It'll be in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's kind of theoretical when he has that quote in the Gospel of John. But the picture of it, the story of what it means to be the way, the truth, and the light is in Luke with his portrait of Jesus helping us all become more human.